Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your dollar a month trial today at shopify.com/records.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit amfam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Oh, Brad, what have you done now?
Welcome inside the Hall of Fame. I'm Booker T, 6-time world champ, 2-time Hall of Famer. Got my man, Brad Gilmore, here with me as always, man, coming to you from ESPN 97.5, 92.5, getting ready to do this thing, getting ready to do it because I'm feeling good. I'm feeling real good. But actually, I'm recovering. I'm recovering, but I'm getting better. I'm getting better. Had a little accident on Tuesday at NXT. I got hit with a pillow.
And, right.
Hardest shot I ever took. But what a day.
Was that stiffer or was the Knobs bag of popcorn stiffer? What was the stiffer shot that you took?
The Knobs bag of popcorn. No, man, I'm having so much fun with NXT, with the young guys, definitely bringing it. Had a chance to do the contract signing as well. Not the contract signing, but just a sit down. Interview with the ladies as well as far as Roxanne Perez, the champion, JC Jane, the challenger, as well as GG Dolan. Man, I'm loving it. I'm loving everything that's going on, the fight that they got here. You know, Roxanne needs to, I taught her better than that. I taught her to watch your back. I taught her, you know, you gotta keep your head on a swivel. So I'm not gonna say anything. I'm not gonna, you know, jump in the middle of that or anything like that. That right there is called own the job training. You feel me? You know, so she'll learn from this. She'll learn and she'll grow from it as well. You know, my mama say you big enough to pass lick. Vengeance Day, somebody better be big enough to take one.
Well, I'm glad that you're recovering and you didn't have any too big of a long lasting issues for your neck and the support, because, you know, Reality Wrestling does have to bring it to the Toyota Center for the Houston Rockets, part of the festivities there. Oh. So we need to make sure that you're 100% booked. 100%, you know?
Man. I've been working out. I've been training. I'm still waiting on my invitation. the Rumble coming up. Still waiting on my invitation. I've been training. You see the pictures I posted? Yeah, after that last match, you know, so I've been in the gym, I've been training, I've been underground. You know what I mean? And I'm gonna tell you, when you go underground training, Brad, you have no idea what that is all about. Okay, trust me, you have no idea. This CrossFit and all that stuff don't compare, you know, at all to going deep, deep, deep underground. And that's why I've been in the trenches. So. I'm waiting on something to come in the mail. All right? I just want to get that out there.
You're like the guy who breaks up with the girl and is expecting her to call him back, right? And then even it gets to her wedding day and she's saying I do to another man. You're still saying I got a shot,
bro. I've been it's been like this for the last few years. You know, I've been like, you know, like we're just waiting on that invitation. You know. Guys like me, people don't understand, and I've seen people say, man, won't you just declare yourself in the Rumble? Let me get you guys the rules of the Rumble. You can only declare if you're an active member on the roster. You know, you can't be a retired, you know, alumni and declare yourself, okay? They have to actually send you an invitation, you know, and with that invitation, you know, it's a little something else to go with it. We ain't got to talk about that. You know what I mean? But yeah. So I'm waiting on both of them.
Well, keep on waiting. We'll see what happens. Royal Rumble is, of course, this Saturday in San Antonio, Texas. My favorite show of the year is the Royal Rumble, so I can't wait to see it. And I'm sure we're going to be talking about that book. We do have Super Chats rolling in. I just want to ask, what did you think of Raw 30? And more importantly, what did you think of the trial of Sami Zayn?
You know, man, honestly, I didn't get a chance to see a whole lot of it. I was traveling, man. I was going from Houston to Orlando. I had to get ready for NXT. That's the reason why I couldn't be there. I was just coming off of filming wrap-up WWE Treasures in Connecticut. So I was real busy. I just didn't have a whole lot of time. You know, to actually, I wanted to be there. You know what I mean? Like I said, I had a party set up. Me and Rick Flab, me and the Nature Boy, we was going, you know, stay up all night and stay a little longer. But we didn't get a chance to do that just because I was busy, man. I was real busy, and more importantly, I was tired, man. I was like so freaking tired. So give me the gist.
Well, I will say, as far as memorable opening segments in recent Raw memory, this trial of Sami Zayn was one of the best things the show's done in a long time. You know, when we talk about wrestling, for me, the thing that brought me into it, like which made me keep watching, was not the moves. It was not even the matches. It was the stories and hearing the guys tell the stories and talking me into the building, right? When we talk about promos, promoting a match, promoting an angle. And this trial of Sami Zayn probably went 30 minutes, maybe 25 minutes, and there was not a lull in the action. I was sitting there watching my wife, and we were cracking up at Paul Heyman. We felt scared at one point for Sami Zayn. We felt happy when Jey Uso stepped up for him and gave him a hug. Like, it really brought you through the emotions, and it sounds so silly because it's your wrestling angle, but, like, everybody on social when I was looking – because the next day they announced the Oscars and everybody was like, where's Jey Uso on this list? Because they acted their behinds off in this trial of Sami Zayn thing. And it was such a great segment. Like, it was one of the top ones in recent memory.
Well, I know the ratings were really, really high for the show. Got 2.3 million people, something like that, 2.4 million people watching it. So that right there tell you that people was really interested in, you know, checking it out. And as well as seeing it's always good seeing the legends, man, come back and, you know, just be a part of the show. And I think, you know, seeing Kurt Angle out there, you know, refereeing a match, you know, whatnot. It was cool, you know what I mean? And to see Kurt moving around, I was surprised Kurt was moving around real good.
Kurt was quick.
I was like, wait a minute. Kurt might be trying to lobby for another match or something there. But, the fans let the world know, as well as, you know, the attendance. Attendance was high.
Sold out.
You know, so I'm all in, man. I'm wondering, you know, how the Rumble going to be. I'm wondering, you know, what that crowd is going to be like, you know, coming off the anniversary. So it's definitely going to be hyped.
It's going to be hyped. And speaking of Kurt, I love how DX kind of plays to the fact that Billy Gunn isn't there, right? But they still reference him.
Yeah.
Because Road Dogg was doing the ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. It's the Road Dogg, Jesse James. And then he cuts, he goes, it's the bet. And he sees it's Kurt Angle standing there in a DX shirt. And it was just so funny the way that they do it, man. Like, guys have epic chemistry with each other. And funny. And Kurt, as great of a wrestler as he was, he really fits into those comedy segments as he always has. So funny, man.
Yeah, that's one thing in Kurt's biography that we talked about was how he was able to adjust from being an Olympic caliber wrestler that you had to be, you know, like ultra laser focus to be able to go through something like that. Not just to go through it, but to win a gold medal in the condition that he was in with a broken neck. Let you know, this dude is the real deal. In Kurt's prime, you did not want to screw around with him. And then to see him morph into a guy with, you know, always refer back to the ukulele and the little cowboy hat segment, you know. So it just was, I always say, in this business, you gotta be able to have the ability to laugh at yourself. And Kurt was able to make that adjustment. So give him a lot of credit, man. Hell of a transition. We got to take a break. Stick around, guys. We got a lot to talk about. Stick around. You in the Hall of Fame. We'll be back in a minute.
How well do you think you know your wrestling? I've prepared some trivia questions right here for you. So let's go and take a look. How was that? I hope you did well. Now let's throw it back over to Brad and Booker for the Hall of Fame.
Welcome back inside the Hall of Fame, y'all. I just got an update. Reality of Wrestling now will not be doing the Rockets halftime event.
Oh, okay.
Some logistics just came through. You know how... When me and my brother first went down to Global, and Tiger Conway, he said, I heard you guys went down to Global, huh? And we said, yeah, we went down to Global. And he said, I just want to let you know, the money is gone. I just wanted to say that. So we won't be going down. We're going to be staying at home tonight and heading down to Reality Wrestling, get some work done, man. Yeah, they owe me for a truck.
Well, okay, unfortunate news, but we'll move on. Hey, yeah. You're talking about the guys we're in the last segment, we were talking about Raw 30 and Kurt Angle and how he added not only great wrestling to his repertoire, but being a great character on the show and connecting with the audience in just a different way than the moves and the movesets. A guy I want to highlight from Raw 30 is somebody who we actually had on this show, actually live in L.A. before he was even signed to WWE. He used to go by Eli Drake back then. He goes by L.A. Knight now. He and Bray Wyatt are going to have a Pitch Black match at the Royal Rumble. He had a segment with The Undertaker on Raw 30, and not just any Undertaker, the return for the first time in like almost 20 years of the American Badass. And L.A. Knight is so confident on the microphone, and he's the heel, but he still has the crowd wanting to do the sing-along with him whenever he goes, L.A. Knight, yeah, or whatever that yeah thing that he hits. The crowd likes this guy, man. They're behind him.
Well, I mean, certain guys, you just need to give him a push, man. You just need to, you know, give him a shot. And I think that dude, he's been waiting on his shot for a long time. He did it down in NXT. And I think he was over there, you know, as well. But he really didn't get, you know, like the push, you know, like the rocket put on you. And, you know, let's send this guy to the moon type of push. He's pretty much been creating everything since Eli Drake to L.A. Knight and to what he's doing right now. He's done that. He's done a whole lot of that on his own. You know what I mean? He's made the fans buy into him pretty much, you know, with the same shtick. He hadn't changed it up or anything. He's just been running with it and saying, you're going to buy in or not. You know, this is who I am. Even though a lot of people may, you know, look at him and, you know, see or hear a Stone Cold Steve Austin, let Stone Cold Steve Austin feel. But sometimes there are guys that come along that have that feel just like a guy that came along, you know, before them. That's just the way it is. You know, it's this guy named Rivera right now. He's a boxer and he comes into the ring and he wears white trunks and white boots with tassels on them, and he's got Ali on his trunks and he looks almost just like Ali did when he was young. You know what I mean? So I get it. You know what I mean? But he's been doing a hell of a job. I always said I thought this guy was talented. You know, he showed up at our show in L.A.
Yeah, he showed up at the show in L.A. And I actually remember you saying to him that night, there's a little green room area to the side at the place that we did. And you were talking to him and you were like, you literally said, bro, you need to be in the WWE. And boom, there he is now. And he was Max Dupri for a second. And yeah,
that wasn't working out, though.
That wasn't going to work. This L.A. Knight works. And I'm excited for him. I'm really happy to see him. And they're not going to give that rub of being up there with The Undertaker to anybody, especially not on the Raw 30th anniversary show, especially not the American Badass version of The Undertaker. So they obviously the company sees something in L.A. Knight, not just the fans. I think that's pretty cool. And you're right. He does have like a stunning Steve Austin era vibe to him with a little Stone Cold mixed in. I never pointed that out. I never thought about that, but there's definitely some similarity there.
Yeah, that's what I see. That's what I mean. But like I say, it doesn't seem like he's trying to imitate Steve Austin or anything. He seemed like he's just being himself. But he may be one of those guys, one of those kids that grew up, you know, watching Stone Cold Steve Austin. And, you know, Steve Austin was one of those guys that was watching a guy by the name of Gorgeous Gary Young. You know, people may not know that, but Gorgeous Gary Young is Steve Austin is Gorgeous Gary Young. I always say that all the time. He stole every one of his moves. You know what I mean? If you go back, if you can find some old film of Gorgeous Gary Young, you'll go, man, this guy does work just like Stone Cold Steve Austin. Throws punches, kicks, everything. That's what Stone Cold Steve Austin, I think, was created down there in Dallas, Texas at the Sportatorium.
Well, there you go. And Eli Knight is just L.A. Knight is just carrying on that legacy. What do you think of this Pitch Black match thing? I don't really know what to expect at all.
I don't know what to expect either. I mean, have they talked about the rules or anything like that?
Not that I know of. It's kind of like, remember when they had the Boneyard match and everyone was like, what the hell is a Boneyard match? And we didn't know until we saw it.
Is it supposed to be cinematic?
No, I think it's in the arena and it's supposed to be pitch black or like a dark, like a literal dark match.
I don't know, man. That's one we got to wait to see and, you know, see if it, you know, pass the smell test, see if it hold up and, you know, we like it, you know, give it thumbs up, thumbs down. I don't know. I can't say.
I think it was Jake Roberts and Rick Martel, I believe, who did the blindfold match.
WWF. I remember that, and that match sucked.
I didn't like the blindfold match?
I think he slipped into the DDT or something like that, right?
Yeah.
I remember that. Yeah.
What I liked about the blindfold match was the psychology, because it was essentially Marco Polo with the crowd, right? like Jake would just walk around like this, with his hands in front of him, they don't know where they are, and then Jake would just point to one side of the ring, and the crowd would go, "No,
yeah,
no.
yeah, yeah."
To the other side of the ring, they go,
like,
"Yeah,
it's like a game, like a game show or something."
Right. Blindfold match, man. We'll see.
I don't know what the pitch black match is going to be, so I'm just going to wait and see, like everybody else.
We got a couple super chats. Let's address them here as they come up. Ross Ferguson says, "Hey, Booker T, what is the coolest finishing move you've ever seen?"
Coolest finishing move I ever seen. You know, I think the coolest finishing move, I think, that really popped me the first time I saw it was that damn Petey Williams when he did that
Canadian Destroyer,
man. That move right there, it looks so complicated. You know, when you see it, it looked like it hurt so bad. But when you really go through the, you know, the technique of it, it's like the easiest bump in the world. You know, it looks devastating. I go, good God, man, how did he think of that move? That Canadian Destroyer was definitely the one I think for me was like, wow, that's a hell of a move.
I agree with you. That was actually going to be my answer as well. I love the Canadian Destroyer. I just remember, like you said, when I saw that, I didn't know Petey Williams from Adam, right? But when I saw that Canadian Destroyer, I remember Petey Williams' name, right? Yeah, and it's probably also the most bastardized move now because everybody remember we saw the Bunny Bad Bunny hit a Canadian Destroyer.
Yeah. It's actually Roxanne Perez's finisher.
It's Roxanne's finisher. That's right.
Yeah. But that move, that Canadian Destroyer was so innovative for it to be able, you know, for someone to figure that out because it's not really that difficult at all for anyone to do. Anyone can do it, you know, but it looks, when you look at it, you go, wow, you know, when someone do it right, you know, so that move is definitely the one.
We have another one here. This comes from Jason Marone, who says, "This booking stuff ain't easy. Some want Sammy a Rock or Cody to win. Some want the title split. Others don't. I do not envy the creative team." That's actually what that quote was from Triple H on Monday night. He literally said in the ring, he goes, this booking stuff ain't easy in the segment. But yeah, it's not. You just got to go with your gut sometimes, right?
Yeah. You got to go with your gut sometimes. I was listening. Actually, I was reading something and then we're talking about where in the beginning, well, the choice wasn't to go with Bianca Belair. It was to go with Charlotte Flair, I think, when Bianca won the title. And someone said, you know, we got to be able to create some new stars. And, you know, we can't pass up on this one right here. And, you know, so boom, they went with Bianca. And Bianca definitely been holding up her end of the bargain as far as being someone that you could look at as a champion. And that's what sometimes you got to do. You got to be able to pull the trigger and say, man, we got, you know, I know you guys may want to go that route, but we got to go this route right now. We can work our way back around to that. But tonight, this is what we got to do. And I get it. You know, and it's not an easy job at all. I mean, just booking reality of wrestling. It's not easy to try to make sure we keep everybody, you know, moving in the right direction. From a star power perspective, and everybody can't be a star at the same time.
No, Not everybody can be a star at the same time. You got to know when to heat guys up and cool them off.
Yeah.
Get them in the main event. Get them in the mid card. You know, I mean, it's a juggling act.
Really is. Really is.
And then, you know, the thing that I don't envy about wrestling, and I know we probably got to take a break soon.
Yeah,
but the thing I don't envy about booking is you can have, because fans are always like, man, why don't they book long-term stories? Well, it's like, you can have the greatest long-term story in the world until the guy twists his ankle. It can't be on the show.
That's
or gets
true.
An injury.
That's true.
You know
that's
what I mean?
True. Yeah, that's true. But that's the deal. I talked about that too, about, you know, when you're in that position, they got to be able to trust you to make every show. That's why The Miz is so valuable. Seriously. Stick around, guys. You're in the Hall of Fame. We'll be back in a minute.
Have you ever thought about training at the Reality of Wrestling facility? Well, I could tell you all about it, or I could let our students do that for you.
Hi, my name is Dominic Marchese. I've been training at Reality of Wrestling for 5 months. If I could give anybody a piece of advice, it'd be stay consistent.
Hello, my name is Kyrie Stanberry. I've been training here for about a year now. Some advice is be yourself, stay consistent. Most importantly, have fun.
I'm John Kilpatrick. I've been training here about 2 weeks now. Any advice I had to give would probably be cardio and bring it in intensity every day.
Hi, my name is Julia Marino. I've been training for about 7 months, and the advice I can tell you is leave your ego at the door, bring a notebook, and be prepared to learn.
Welcome back to the Hall of Fame, guys. Hey, man, want to be a part of Reality Wrestling? Go to realityofwrestling.com. Do it! Do it now! Because I do it for you. Hey, man, we got any more Super Chats?
Yeah, we do. This one comes in here from DJ1491. Are the Shoop shirts available and tank tops for the gym so we can show off the shine and the gloss?
You know what? Shoop shirts can be made from a tank top perspective. I told you guys the Shoop shirts was on the way, didn't I? I said the Shoop shirts was on the way. They are. They are on the way. I know Brad got a lot of skepticism. Let's just say that.
That's polite. Polite way of saying it.
Yeah. Let's just say that. But the Shoop shirts are specially designed because we want them to be right. We don't want to drop the ball on this one right here because these are alive and hot. I'm talking about hot off the press. And you see how I look right now. I'm looking real Jack, right? I'm looking real Jack. Just imagine Shoop. Oh, yeah.
Well, we had, by the way, have another Super Chat here. Let me get to it because I just saw some news that might have just broken, but I'm going to confirm it before I get there.
Shoop shirts.
Unify Rex said went to a TASW wrestling event in Conroe and saw a couple of Reality Wrestling guys in action. I loved it.
Awesome, man. You know, the Reality Wrestling guys try to get around and, give back to the independent world. You know, we don't try to hold our guys down or anything like that. And I tell you, when you see someone like a Mysterious Q, a Brian Keith, Ruthless Ryan Davison out there, man, support those guys, man. They got some merch. You know, make sure you guys get a T-shirt or something because those guys, they work hard, man. They work hard out there trying to make it to this next level. And that game, when you're on the independent scene, you need every dime you can get. Trust me. So support those guys.
Let's see. We got one Super Chat here that just came in from Ross Ferguson. Booker T, do you still have any of your props or costumes from WWE? And what was your favorite? What's the favorite boxing memorabilia you have?
My favorite boxing memorabilia probably would be this print right here. You know, my nephew had that specially made for me of Muhammad Ali, the greatest of all time. I got a pair of his boxing gloves, you know, right over here to my left as well. So I think that's my best boxing memorabilia. As far as wrestling props or anything like that, now I don't have any of that stuff, man. I wasn't one to, want to hold on to anything. I wish I had the TV title, the WCW TV championship. I wish I had, swiped that, at the end of my run. But, it's the only thing I really think about as far as memorabilia go, trunks and boots. I do have my one pair of King Booker, my white boots that I wore. Those are the only ones I still have. And I say, those, I'm going to hold on to those, you know, forever.
Well, there you have it. Last one of Super Chats before we move on to more news. P Serious, what do you think of Power Slap? That's the new UFC venture.
Yeah, yeah. You know, hey, man. You know, people are entertained, man. People are entertained just about anything, man. You can put two whatever together and, you know, people bet on it, you know. And then the thing here, this is nothing new or anything like that. Dana White is just jumping in, man, and say, man, let's try to make some money off of this. Let's bring it to mainstream TV. They've been doing this thing for a while, and I always been like, wow, what makes someone want to do that? Even women do it, you know. And we talk about CTE and brain damage. What do you think you're going to get from something like that over a period of time? Man, we're going to have a bunch of Looney Tunes running around out of here.
Yeah, really. You
know, we keep coming up with ideas like this. That's what I think about it.
I think it's one of the dumbest things I've ever seen on television. I'll be honest with you. I sat and watched a little bit of the event, and it's one of the dumbest. You know what it reminds me of? Do you remember it used to come on after Raw? They had. Do you remember Slam Ball? Do you remember this? Slam Ball used to come on TNN or whatever station Raw was on at the time, and it was a basketball sport. But instead of a court, they played on trampoline.
I remember that. I remember that now. Yeah, yeah.
And it was so stupid when you watch it because you can't dribble a ball on a trampoline. So they were just literally running around with a basketball trying to do dunks all day.
Yeah, yeah.
It was one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. And that's what Power Slap
was. Well, it was almost like the video game. It was like a video game.
Right, yeah, yeah,
It was a live video game. Yeah, that's what it was, yeah.
And that's what Power Slap is like. It's like, this is not man, that, something
that, but that stuff is dangerous. Power Slap
is yeah, absolutely. Dangerous.
And it's just no way something like that is good for the human being. I just don't think God put us here to do that as a sport. You know, and how much money you getting paid to do that? I mean, I'm going to tell you right now. I got an uppercut from Dave Taylor, wrestler from England. Back in the day, and I was calling myself being tough. You know, I wanted to show my toughness one night. And he hit me with that uppercut, boom. And I said, hip, give me another one, boom. And he gave me another, boom. He gave me like about four or five of them. And we finished with the match. I ended up winning the match. And when I got home the next day, my neck was so swollen. You know, that gland had swollen up. I had to go to the hospital. You know what I mean? So imagine what these fools, what's going to happen with these fools. You know, after a few slaps, a few competitions, it's going to be nuts. You know, they have to shut it down. They have to shut it down within 5 years. It's going to be crazy. Trust me.
Oh, that's giving it too much credit. I think 5 years is. I mean, maybe it goes that long, but I don't see any longevity in this.
I'm just saying. I'm just giving the benefit of the doubt.
And when you talk about pay, I would say one of the stars on the rise for the UFC would be a guy like a Patty Pimblett, right? Patty the Batty. People are saying his name more and more.
Yeah.
And in his last few fights, not his last fight, but fights before that, he was getting paid 12 and 12. So what do you think these Power Slap guys are getting paid?
Three and three.
Shoot.
$2,500.
Whatever the minimum is.
No, I mean, I'm serious. It can't be worth it. It can't be. You know, but what's crazy today, though, is people will do anything to be a star. You know, you know, me personally, I didn't really care about the stardom. I just want the money. You know what I mean? I'm serious. I'm not lying. I did not care about being a star at all. People say, man, if I could give all my titles back and they say, man, we're going to give you $1 million a year for these last 32 years and you ain't winning no titles or anything. And I'd be like, oh, I'm in. I'm serious. No problem. You know what I mean? Nobody's going to know who you are. I don't care. You know what I mean? Just give me the money, you know. But but it's crazy, man. These days, people are willing to sell their soul to be stars, man. This YouTube and internet world has changed the world, bro. You know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and Power Slap, just another thing on the docket that people can try to do. But again, you're right. Like, I don't know. Just wasn't fun to even watch. So, I haven't confirmed this, but someone said it was 2,000 to participate in Power Slap. It's from Vsar 223. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what he said in the chat.
That's how much you got. That was the payoff.
That was to participate.
Well, you got to pay to get in.
No, I think that means like if you're an active competitor, you're paid.
Okay. Two grand.
Would you take a slap today from a grown man for $2,000?
I wouldn't take one from Charmel. I'm serious, man. That hurts. You know what I mean?
It hurts.
Those guys, they don't just be slapping. They come all the way from the east side.
Yeah.
And the thing is, just imagine, there's no way your timing can be right every time. Somebody's going to get slapped in the ear, top of the head, the temple, something sooner or later, you know. Somebody's going to end up dying from getting hit, you know, from one of those. Those guys, man, those guys are serious when they do that stuff. And I'm serious. You know, it's not for me. Let's just say that. It's not for me.
You won't be watching Power Slap. Well, are we still good on – do we need to take a break? My clock says we're getting close.
My clock said we got 1 minute left.
Okay. One thing I do want to talk about is, of course, we know the Royal Rumble is this Saturday in San Antonio, Texas.
I'm getting the Winnebago ready right now, dog. Steaks, baked potatoes, you know, everything. I'm getting ready to make that ride. I'm going to have some fun this Rumble. I'm going to have some fun. I'm going in a day early, actually, and hang out at an RV park. And then do the thing on Saturday. Kickoff show is going to be live. I cannot wait.
Yeah, I'm excited for the kickoff show, excited for the Royal Rumble. A lot of talk about Cody Rhodes, some talk about The Rock, and even your former tag team partner of yours, Rob Van Dam, says he might be showing up in the Rumble.
I've been hearing his name out there, man, to see my boy come. I said, you know, the one person I want to see is RVD. Because RVD, man. You know, say what you want to say about him. He still got the hops, you know. I might want to see Too Cold Scorpio come back, too, because he still got the hops. Yeah.
Too Cold. I thought Too Cold was supposed to come down a row. Are we still doing that ever?
I mean, sooner or later we're going to do it. But I'm going to tell you right now, Too Cold Scorpio, the brother can fly, you know, when he was in his 20s. Now he's in his 50s, and he still can fly just as good. I don't even understand it.
And he's a big guy.
I do not understand how this guy still have that ability and why his body is still able to, capable to even do some of the stuff he still does. Unbelievable talent, man. Always have been. I guess always will be. Stick around, guys. You're in the Hall of Fame. We'll be back in a minute.
To the Hall of Fame. Here's Booker T and Brad Gilmore.
What's up, this Booker T, two-time Hall of Famer. I know you're checking out the shine, checking out the gloss. I want to thank you guys for checking out Row on YouTube. Hey, don't forget to click and subscribe to check out all the latest content right here each and every week. Now, can you dig that, sucker? Welcome back inside the Hall of Fame, man. You know what? We haven't talked about AEW and what's going on with AEW, and we need to get some clicks.
It's interesting you bring them up. They actually just announced today a deal with DAZN to broadcast all AEW shows, I think, in several international markets, which was big for them. Yeah. But here's the interesting thing. Now, Tony Khan, if you remember, it's maybe a little over a year ago, Kenny Omega was the champion over an Impact as well. And he was doing these little promos where he would kind of talk smack to people, right? And Tony did one where he was talking about the con man that lives in Connecticut, right? Referring to Nick Khan, the now CEO, the sole CEO of the WWE. And Nick Khan did an interview with the Ringer's Bill Simmons last week and talked about a variety of things, including Stephanie McMahon's exit from the company, Vince McMahon's return, the potential sale, the fake Saudi Arabia story, and he was asked about AEW and does he see them as competition. He gave a lengthy response, including saying this, and I just want to get your reaction to the quote. He said a couple things. First, I've never met the kid, Tony Khan. He seems like a nice kid. I don't know him. I met his dad, who randomly I sat next to at some sports luncheon with Stephanie about a year and a half ago. I thought his dad was super impressive. There's a piece on him in the New York Times. He's a self-made billionaire. He goes on to say, I don't think he's involved on the wrestling side of the business outside of just financing it. He's got the pockets, and I'm sure his kid appreciates it. But I've never been threatened by that. I don't feel threatened by anyone and anything. I just know we have the best product with the best talent, the best riders, and I think that we're in good shape. When he continued and said this, I think referring to AEW and saying, anyone can run a business at a loss. That's easy. As long as someone continues to finance it, he says, I haven't seen AEW's books, but I know our books, which are public, highest grossing revenue in 2022, highest profitability in 2022, and other big factors on why we're exploring a sale. So send a couple shots over to Tony Khan. What do you think of Nick Khan's comments?
You know, facts. You know, that's what I think about it. You know, more than anything, it's facts as far as the numbers, as far as, and the thing is, I've said that, you know, about AEW for quite some time. I say those guys spending a whole lot of money, you know, those contracts are long-term, a lot of them are long-term. Man, I smell WCW, you know, yes. As far as, I know 100%, you know, when WCW was at its peak, man, we had to be losing money, you know. We had to be. Otherwise the company wouldn't have closed down.
Right.
Right.
Well, yeah, if you were making money, the company's not going anywhere.
If they're making money, ain't nobody talking about nothing, but how can we make more of it?
100%.
That's normally the way, you know, people that's, you know, making money think, you know, man, how much more, I mean, how deep this rabbit hole goes, you know what I mean? And with AEW signing guys like CM Punk, and you know, guys like Chris Jericho, guys like Christian, you know, guys like Goldust, you know, Cody, you know, those guys, MJF now want big money. And we hear about, you know, how contracts are structured. And over there, it doesn't seem like that's the same structure, because it's like a number. What do you want? I'm going to tell you right now, I don't even want to get, you know, too far deep in the weeds or anything like that. But I've, you know, heard, you know, the stories as far as the way they, you know, do contracts, as far as, you know, what, you know, how much do you want? you know, how much can I get? You know what I mean? I want this much. Is that type of negotiation? Oh, good. You know, that's enough. You know, one of those type of deals. And I saw when WCW, I give Eric Bischoff a lot of credit, but I saw when WCW was bringing in guys and paying them boatloads of money to do nothing, to not bring a rating to the show, I felt like, man, we're definitely in a place where we don't want to be. And I look at AEW, it's a lot of guys on their roster that's not even, I wouldn't say they're not capable of helping the show. They're just not in a position to help the show, because there's not enough room for everyone to actually be able to create like stars. You know what I mean? It's just not enough room, you know, right. With all of those guys on the roster. Half of those guys could, you know, I'm not going to say cut half of those guys, but half of those guys on the roster are just waiting, you know, in catering, you know, waiting to see when are they going to get their shot. And that right there, for me, is just not, you know, good business. WCW, same way. They had a bunch of guys that were just sitting at home making money, and they weren't active. There were no, when I got guys, you know, just, it's like having a football team, you know, I got those guys on the sideline just in case one of my guys get hurt. Okay. But I ain't going to have 10 guys on the sideline for that same job.
Right. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
No. Yeah. I hear what you're saying.
That's, I think, what the problem is.
Yeah. you know, going off of what Nick Khan said, you know, I thought it was well within his right to make a little comment if that's what he wanted to do. And I thought it was kind of funny. But I don't know. Like, AEW does seem to be spending a lot of money on Surface. Now, I don't know what they're making on these houses. And I know their last contract was like $160 million over a few years. But I think that they probably got several, I mean, over tens of millions of dollars in talent contracts to pay off over the next few years, right? I mean, Jericho's saying that he's got his highest contract ever when he signed with AEW. Jim Ross had the most lucrative announcing contract in history. I can only imagine that they have big payouts going to these guys. And here's the thing I'll say. The future AEW is going to be dependent upon what they get out of their television rights negotiation. If Turner and Warner Brothers Discovery forks over some more money, and I say starting at 30 to 50% more than what they're getting now, they're going to be in a good place. They'll probably have some profitability coming long term. Obviously, everyone loses money at the beginning.
Yeah.
But if they don't get that money, man, some of those contracts aren't going to look so favorable to the AEW office anymore.
Hey, man, I try not to get into the office or anything like that, but I just feel like it's a lot of guys on the roster that's just on the roster. And I need guys on the roster that's going to be effective as far as being able to pull me some numbers, some ratings, and put some behind the seats. Like I said, they're not just going to be on the roster just to be on the roster.
Right, I hear you. Yeah. But I will say this to all the boys getting paid. Congratulations.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Get your paper, baby. Get your paper.
I'm never going to be mad at the boys getting the payoff.
No, that ain't that's not what this is all about at all. It's not what we're talking about. We're talking about
the
financial state of a company as far as them making money or if they're just spending money just to, you know, look like they're, you know, a major company, you know.
And like Nick said, they're a private company. We don't know what their books are. They could be making a bunch of money. I just don't know.
I remember when I first came to WWE, right? And I said, hey, man, I need to get some tickets for the show. I got some people coming tonight. And Earl Hebner was the ticket guy back then. And he goes, how many do you need? I said, I need 15. And he goes, hey, Book, you know, I know you come from WCW, but we sell tickets here. All right, can I get two?
Oh, look, we sell tickets here at the WWE.
I swear to God. I swear to God, what he telling me, man.
Hilarious. I
swear to God, I never get that, man. Seriously.
Hilarious. But congratulations to all of them. You know, hopefully AEW is here for another 20 years and, you know, there's more jobs for everybody. I don't know.
Definitely, 100%.
But I know we're almost wrapped up here.
Yeah.
We only got a few minutes left. So I have to ask you, on the spot, on the button, who are the winners of the men and women's Royal Rumbles? Let's book it and take it to the bank. Who are we putting money on? I know you don't like to book the show. I know you don't like betting on wrestling. But if you had to put your money on somebody in both match, who would it be?
You know, of course, in the men's, it's going to be Cody Rhodes.
All right, I like it.
Cody Rhodes is going to win. And in the women's, it's going to be the Rip.
Strong choices, man.
The Rip. It's time for the Rip to get that push. It's time for the Rip to come out of that shadow of the women, you know. And I think, you know, being able to just sit back in the wings, watch and wait, you know, with Judgment Day as of late, has given her a little bit of time to get that hunger back to go out there and really take control of that women's division. Like, I really think she can. I really think Rhea Ripley is the future of the women's division.
I agree. I love Rhea Ripley. This Judgment Day run has reinvigorated her and I think has made her a must-see star on that division. And, like, you know, and Becky, I love Becky. I love Charlotte, you know, Bayley and all them. But, you know, they've had a good run on top. Like, I want to see some new people. Like, Bianca Belair, if she's the rock of this generation, let's just say, they need that Steve Austin figure on the women's side. And who better than Rhea Ripley?
I think it's time to, you know, we need to see a ripper. That's what we need to see, man. We need to rip to let loose. So I'm looking forward to seeing Rhea Ripley go out there and, you know, bring it home.
The Royal Rumble should be a show to remember. Of course, there's the Pitch Black match, which we'll see with LA Knight and Bray Wyatt, the Royal Rumble itself, and Kevin Owens versus Roman Reigns, who had a banger of a match a few years ago at the Royal Rumble, even though they had that little snafu with the handcuffs. You remember that in that Last Man Standing match?
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Where Roman couldn't get him off and then just ended up like squatting to stand up and all that. It almost looked like Take. I love Take. It looks like he had a little issues with the bike on Raw. Like that bike was not cooperating with him at all.
Yeah, he had a little issue. A little starter problem. Maybe too much gas in the carburetor. You know, it could be anything.
You never know. Definitely not user error.
That's live TV, man. It's just the way it works sometimes. But hey, man, we got to get up out of here. Again, guys, check the Rumble out going down this Saturday night. Kickoff show. I'll be there doing my thing. And I'm going to tell you, I got a nice suit. I got a nice suit I'm going to put on. It's going to be player, 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 baby. So, guys, check it out. I want to thank everybody that stuck around and stepped inside the Hall of Fame, got your champagne wishes, caviar dreams. Bradley, as always, man, we appreciate you. But right now, guys, peace. We out this mug. Shub.
Done now.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.